You are locked into Locked On Badgers on this post Labor Day Tuesday. I'm Ben Kenny, running solo today while Asher moves into a new apartment. We'll hear about that on when we're back for tomorrow's episode. But it is still a frustrating Tuesday. Wisconsin is 0-1. They lose to Penn State 16-10 on Saturday, despite outplaying Penn State in pretty much every statistical category. So we have a great show today. First, I need to start off with why Saturday doesn't have me selling stock on this Wisconsin team. Now, obviously, expectations were high. It was a game that they outplayed Penn State. They should have won. But I'm still, even though they lost, even though Graham Mertz struggled, even though the offensive line was a big reason for that loss, I'm still high on this team. And I think we saw indications on the field on Saturday that this team is still set up to be really good. Once they fix certain things, this is still a team that could contend with Ohio State. So I am staying pat. I'm not buying stock in this team. I'm not selling. And I'm going to tell you why. Also, we hinted at this during Monday's episode, but there's a conversation right now happening about Jack Cohn and Graham Mertz that needs to stop. I'm going to tell you what that is and why it is a preposterous question to bring up and discussion to have at this point. And finally, a look around the Big Ten, some key takeaways from week one, because it was a really eventful week that saw a lot more happen than normal. It wasn't all your cupcake out of conference contests. There were some real games that were played. So we're going to get into that. But first, go leave a review on Apple Podcasts, like it on Spotify, all that good stuff to share the pod. Again, we're back 5 days a week all throughout the season. Asher will be back tomorrow. It does feel really good that we are talking about a normal college football slate and a normal schedule. Obviously, the game sucked, but it felt awesome sitting down on the couch throughout Saturday after the game and watching some pretty big-time contests, then obviously watching Jack Cohn absolutely light the world on fire the next night. But where we're starting today, why am I still high on this Wisconsin team? There are a few key reasons, and first and foremost, it starts off with what we're going to see the next couple weeks. The Badgers welcome in Eastern Michigan to Camp Randall this weekend, and this is an Eastern Michigan team that just played a college last weekend and won. They played a college that I have never heard of. It is an Eastern Michigan team that was projected to finish near the bottom of their division in the MAC. This is not a good football team. And after what we saw on the field on Saturday, which was Graham Mertz still struggling to get through his reads and take that step forward as a quarterback, we saw an offensive line that really struggled protecting Mertz and consistently clearing holes up front. We saw tune-up issues with the fumbles, with overall mistakes made by the secondary on those touchdowns, just complete coverage busts. Every single way Wisconsin lost that game is something that is either preventable with practice or requires a tune-up game, if you will, like this one. I think Graham Mertz, the offensive line especially, are going to be able to find a lot of success against Eastern Michigan, and I hope that will snowball moving forward. So we'll get into the matchup more specifically throughout the week, but first and foremost, why am I still high on this team? It's because you look at Eastern Michigan, Graham Mertz has a chance to get comfortable and to get this offense churning again. They can fix the mistakes they made on Saturday, and then they get a bye week, which is just more time for all of those things to develop and be changed. Then they go play Notre Dame, and we saw Notre Dame this weekend. That is not a great defense. Now, Kyle Hamilton, the safety, could be one of the best players in the country. But aside from that, Florida State had their way with them for much of the game. If it wasn't for Jack Cohn just being an absolute beast, Florida State could win that football game. And we know Florida State is not your cream of the crop college football team. So while Notre Dame presents a really tough task, obviously, it's still a defense that I think Wisconsin can find success against. That Penn State defense could be one of the best they face next to Iowa all season. So the next two matchups being against easier defenses and easier opponents, I'll say, than Penn State, I think helps this team a lot. Second, this Badger defense, I think, is one of Jim Leonard's best. They held Penn State to only 11 first downs, and I think two in the first half, without one of their best players in Leo Chanel. They held Penn State to 3 of 13 on third down, 247 passing yards, but you take away those three preventable coverage busts, Now, this wasn't those touchdowns. It wasn't Jahan Dotson just running by Caesar Williams or Fayon Hicks and making and toasting them, pretty much. No, it was a coverage bust that left the guy running open. And those are things that are preventable once you get into the season and once you practice more. So you take away those three big plays, Sean Clifford was dinking and dunking and not doing anything. The Penn State offense as a whole did nothing. Noah Cain had one 34, I believe, or 36-yard run. You take that run away, only 14 rushing yards. This defense absolutely dominated what I believe to be a really good Penn State offense. You just look across the unit. Keanu Benton showed that jump that we expected him to take up front at nose tackle. He was disrupting. Now, he only showed up on the stat sheet for a batted pass, I believe, but he was a beast up there. Isaiah Mullins, first game starting at defensive end, great showing. There were a couple flash plays where he just toasted one of the Penn State offensive guards. Matt Henningsen, super solid. You move back, Noah Burks did what we've seen Noah Burks do throughout his career. He is always in the right position. Whenever Jim Leonard likes to drop those outside linebackers back, maybe fake a rush, drop them back in a zone, Noah Burks is always in the right spot, and he was there to prevent some key Penn State first downs. Nick Herbig showed a huge jump in pass rushing ability. Now, we saw some of it last year, but he had some wow moves on Saturday against Penn State. Now, not the best offensive line in the world, but still, this is a youngster that has only shown good stuff. He had two tough missed tackles. Hopefully, those do not happen again, but I'm confident in that position group. You move back, Jack Sanborn, probably the best player on the field on Saturday, and then he'll get Leo Chanel next to him. And the secondary, like, I know those touchdowns happened, but the secondary played well. Like, Caesar Williams, Fayon Hicks, they were with Parker Washington and Jahan Dotson for much of the game. Scott Nelson was okay. Colin Wilder was okay. But take away those huge coverage busts, which were bad and ended up being a big killer for the Wisconsin team. But I think when you have more practice time and when you have more time, you have more experience, honestly, as a group, and you don't have Eric Burrell back there, you need Scott Nelson to step up as that leader. I think when you have more time, those go away. This defense, I thought, would be really good heading into the season. After what I saw on Saturday, I am only expecting better things. And that's a great sign for this team. It's a great sign because even when Mertz may struggle or the offense isn't on the top of their game, this is a defense that can play with any offense in the country. So that's the second reason why I'm still excited and confident about where this Badger team is and where they could go. The third, the schedule still looks fine. Like, Penn State is out of the way. I thought it was the toughest game they would have next to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to be a big test, but their defense, as we saw against Florida State, might not be your classic, elite level Notre Dame defense. Then you move forward. Iowa is the game to schedule. They looked great against Indiana. I'll get into that later. They should be the favorite in the Big Ten West right now, but they play them at Camp Randall. And from now to then, so much could be different with where Graham Mertz is. You go through Minnesota, they'll be without Muhammad Ibrahim for the rest of the year, which is a huge blow. The schedule still looks fine. This Penn State game was always going to be one of the toughest they would have. And I know we overreact after week one, or we overreact to big losses or crushing losses, which it was. But Asher and I have come on this podcast and called for a 10-2 season with one of those losses either being to, say, a Penn State or a Notre Dame, and then maybe one more later in the season to an Iowa or a Minnesota. Like, they lost that game. That was something that we were talking about. It's not like they just came in and got upset by a mid-major. It's not like BYU on my birthday, let alone a couple years ago, just comes in and absolutely breaks the hearts of every Wisconsin fan. So finally, and those are the big picture reasons why I'm still excited about the team. Obviously, they will go nowhere if Graham Mertz does not take steps forward. I got into some of the reasons why I think he still can and still will earlier when I talked about an Eastern Michigan cupcake and then a Notre Dame where their defense isn't great. But, I mean, this kid has still only played 8 collegiate games, and he was bad. Like, I'm not defending him and his play because he still needs to take that step forward. But I think there are also still other reasons behind that. I mentioned it on podcast yesterday. The Wisconsin offensive line did such a poor job at protecting him early that I think the rhythm never came late. And this is a guy, like, we see what happens when he gets rolling. So do I believe he will still take a step forward and be a consistent force at quarterback? I absolutely do. He needs to change the reads. He needs to get better at progressing into his second read. He needs to stop turning the football over first and foremost. But still, even with his play being okay and not great, this is going to be a really good football team. And then there's still that chance that he can take that step this year and just put them to that next level. I'm still really excited and confident about this team, even after what we saw. Because, I mean, we said it yesterday, and it'll be a broken record pretty much throughout the season. Wisconsin outgains them big time. They hold the ball for nearly 43 minutes of time. They are they're inside the Penn State 10-yard line four times, and they come away with 7 points. They turn the ball over three times. They just gave that game away. They literally handed it away. When they're at the 1-yard line with 2.5 minutes left, you run four quarterback sneaks, and you'll score 95% of the time. Like, it was, everything that happened was kind of lightning in a negative bottle. So I'm still confident. I know a lot of people are selling this team. They're really selling their Graham Mertz stock, which I'll get into in a second. It's unbelievable to watch happen, frankly. But I know a lot of people are now out on this team. That some are out on Paul Christ, which I don't understand. They're out on everything about the program. After a loss that, like, the loss sucked, but they still played a really good football game. So don't panic. Eastern Michigan this weekend. Hopefully they wax them by 35, and we come on saying, is Graham Mertz back? I hope that happens, but don't panic. They get Eastern Michigan. Like, the train will come back on the tracks. This team will start winning football games, and then we'll see where everything stands throughout the season. But I'm here to say it. I don't care about the loss. I know Graham Mertz looked bad. I know the offensive line was bad. Moving forward, I'm still confident in those units figuring it out. And if everything around this defense, if it's just okay, this team's going to win a lot of games this year. So stay with me. Don't sell your stock just yet. This is still a team that has a great chance and a great opportunity to go to Indianapolis and try to beat Ohio State. Before I get into this disaster that has become Twitter and the fan base, some select in the fan base that are asking the question of Jack Cohn staying instead of Graham Mertz, before I get into that, because it has been a tiring couple days, this episode is brought to you by Sweatblock. Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes are your way to avoid the sweat. Now, they are doctor-created, doctor-recommended. They work up to 7 days per use. Sweatblock even gives you the dry shirt guarantee, where if it doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back from buying the pack. They are featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters, a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years. You can go to sweatblock.com right now, 20% off your order when you use promo code LOCKEDON. They also have them at Amazon and CVS. Your way to avoid the sweat is Sweatblock. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at Rock Auto. Listen, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of cars, trucks, SUVs, it is now nearly impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you may need. Why endure often pointless or intimidating questioning, asking about your car, maybe things you don't even know, or a wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer? Don't do any of that. Go to rockauto.com. You can save time. You could save money. You don't need to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a dealership or from a store than you can at Rock Auto. It's a family business that's been serving people for over 20 years. The prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you need: your brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, or even a new carpet in your car. You can go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. That is amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, bear with me for a second because it's time for a mini rant. We hinted at this, Asher and I did, on yesterday's episode. But after Jack Cohn goes absolutely ballistic on Sunday night, throwing for 350, four touchdowns, looking great, leading Notre Dame to a win, everybody was asking the question, and hell, I even saw it on sports radio today. Did the Badgers make a mistake by keeping Graham Mertz and starting him and letting Jack Cohn walk. If you listen to this podcast at all, you know I may be the biggest Jack Cohn guy out there. I want to see him succeed now. I want to see him be great for Notre Dame. It makes me happy to see him play really well. Obviously, not against Wisconsin, but still, I want him to do well. And I want to be right by declaring him the best quarterback the program has had since Russell Wilson. Anyway, despite me knowing that Jack Cohn is better than a lot of people thought previously, there was never a chance he was going to stay after he got hurt. Let me take you through the timeline for a second. So they are entering the 2020 season. COVID hits. There's the whole disaster with when the season's starting. They finally start training camp. Jack Cohn breaks his foot. I think this was the beginning of September of 2020. He breaks his foot. He is out indefinitely. Obviously, at that point, Graham Mertz is going to start for you because you're probably not putting Chase Wolf in there and there's no one else. So Graham Mertz starts. We know what he did against Illinois. We know what last year looked like. At the end of the year, you're telling me Wisconsin should have said to their quarterback that they had seen greatness from, had led them to a 4-3 record despite a lot of other BS happening. They should tell him to go sit on the bench for another year while our graduate quarterback comes in for a final hurrah. Like that was never possible. There was no way that was never going to happen. Would I have taken Jack Cohn starting week one over Graham Mertz? Absolutely. I've said it on radio. I think I've said it on this podcast. His ceiling, maybe not as high as Mertz's, but his floor is heck of a lot higher. And I like the consistency he brings and the presence he would bring to this Badger team. But it was never realistic for him to stay. Wisconsin never made a choice between Jack Cohn and Graham Mertz. They were forced into that when Cohn got hurt and when the NCAA added a year of eligibility. Like, Cohn was going to transfer no matter what. I don't even think he came and asked. He's like, hey, am I going to start next year? No, I think everybody knew in that scenario that it was best for Cohn to transfer out. Would I have liked him to transfer to a school that Wisconsin didn't play this year? Absolutely. And it's going to be a fun game to watch. But this whole discussion about, oh, wow, we should have kept Cohn, or I can't believe Cohn isn't still at Wisconsin. It's like, yeah, I can believe it. It made sense. It made sense for everybody. I've always found that staying down the middle, staying level-headed through a lot of the arguments, if you will, is the best way to go about it. Because you have the people out right now that are saying Graham Mertz is awful. You have the people like myself that are more reserved saying he sucked on Saturday. But there is still so much there to be excited about with him and with this team. He just needs to fix a few pretty easily fixable things. And with this whole Jack Cohn thing, it's like, I love Jack Cohn. I'm excited to watch him play on Saturday. But I also understand why he is not a Wisconsin Badger. And everybody needs to understand that. It is not a discussion that we need to have right now, given, I mean, this is a team that as I outlined for the first 10 minutes of the show, that still has the potential to go and win the Big Ten. And my colleague Asher and co-host on this podcast wrote pretty much what I just said very well up on Badger's Wire. Just stay with me. Just sit back, watch Jack Cohn, enjoy it, understand how good he was for Wisconsin, but focus on Graham Mertz because he is the Badgers quarterback right now. He most likely will be the Badgers quarterback for the next few years, and there was never going to be a time where it was between Jack Cohn and Graham Mertz. Put that whole discussion to bed. Put the question to bed. Never bring it up again because it is a stupid talking point. It's a stupid argument. Before I get into what happened around the Big Ten this weekend and key takeaways moving forward, this episode is also brought to you by betonline.ag. You can get all of the updated odds, props, and contests on the NFL, which is starting this week, on college football, that Wisconsin Big Ten future bet, which maybe doesn't look great after week one. I still would be cautiously confident that they can get to that game. But up on betonline.ag right now, they have online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest. You can also head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today, receive your 100% welcome bonus. It was 50%, it is now 100% with promo code LOCKEDON. And finally, you can go take advantage of their opening day super promo, which is where you make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th, season opener between the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Mike McCarthy-led crappy Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. That is for new customers when you sign up and use promo code NFL100. So NFL100 for the super promo of opening day of the NFL season. You get 100% back on your welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, AG is your place to go for all of your sports gambling needs. So as we wrap things up on this Tuesday before Asher returns tomorrow, and we look forward at the Eastern Michigan game on Saturday, as well as talking about the latest developments within this team and within this program, Big Ten wraparound with some key takeaways from what happened this weekend. So you know our takeaways from the Wisconsin-Penn State game. Penn State is a good team. Ellis Brooks, their linebacker, had a crazy good game. Jaquan Brisker is just an absolute beast. Penn State's good. They are really good. They deserve their high ranking. Wisconsin, however, thoroughly outplayed them, deserved to win that game, probably do win that game 9 times out of 10. And for me, I do not ring the alarm bells on this season just because Graham Mertz struggled. But what else happened around the conference? Asher and I were recording late last week when Ohio State was playing Minnesota. Now, Ohio State wins by 2 touchdowns. CJ Stroud struggles early, which I wasn't surprised by. It's his first time stepping on a college field and taking a snap, but Ohio State will still be fine. I still just think Stroud, the drop-off, I'll say it this way, the drop-off between Stroud and Justin Fields may be great enough for this season to be the one to beat the Buckeyes. But I've said that throughout the last couple weeks. The big story here, Minnesota running back Muhammad Ibrahim, one of the best backs in the country, tears his Achilles, I believe is the specific diagnosis, but he's out for the year. So that is a massive blow to Minnesota, who looked okay. They were battling with Ohio State, and they will be a better football team than they were last year. But losing Ibrahim is huge. Ohio State takes care of business. Michigan State, Kenneth Walker. Now, he was at Wake Forest last year. The Badgers did not see him because he did not play in the Duke's Mayo Bowl game, which, again, Duke's Mayo, when are you going to admit that you just completely rigged the trophy to break to take all the stupid free marketing? Kenneth Walker is a damn good running back. He goes for 23, 264, and 4 touchdowns against Pat Fitzgerald's defense. Northwestern gets absolutely smacked. Hunter Johnson ended up throwing for 3 touchdowns, 275 yards, but Michigan State just beat the hell out of him. So great sign on Mel Tucker, his second year at the helm, maybe trying to get it going in the good direction. But bigger takeaway for the Badgers' sake is that, as we have said for the last couple months, likely to be a down year for the Wildcats. We don't know what Hunter Johnson is at quarterback. The defense loses way too much to be as good as they were last year. And you saw it week one. Michigan State beat the crap out of them. The big game that is the result is the one Badger fans should be scared about. Iowa 34, Indiana 6. Iowa looked great. Their defense was flying around the football. They intercept Michael Penix 3 times. Now, how much of this was Indiana not being as good as we saw last year? I think some of it, while I still think they're a good football team, but Iowa's defense was flying. 3 interceptions off who I believe to be the best quarterback in the conference. They are a really, really good football team. And Spencer Petras isn't that star at quarterback, but he'll do enough. And if Mertz isn't able to take that step forward, I don't know how the Badgers would be able to score on this Iowa defense with a lot of consistency, because it is a loaded, loaded unit. Running through quickly, because a lot of the other games were out of conference and don't really matter. Michigan looked fine. They kill Western Michigan. Noted here, wide receiver Ronnie Bell, I saw, is out for the year, though, which is big news for the Wolverines. Rutgers destroyed Temple, whatever. Nebraska won a football game. They beat Fordham, despite the game being tied 7-7 in the second quarter. Maryland beat West Virginia, fine. Purdue did beat Oregon State, but Purdue isn't great. And Brett Bielema, after that triumphant win over Scott Frost in week one, loses to UTSA at home. So for all those Illinois fans and people following it saying Brett Bielema is finally the savior, and they are now competing in the Big Ten West after beating a crappy Nebraska team. Guess what? They lost to UTSA, and now we actually realize that Illinois is not good yet. So that'll do it for today's episode. Asher will be back again tomorrow. We will be recording our opponent preview, previewing the Eastern Michigan team. And really, for this one, we're getting more into what we need to see from Wisconsin. Where can Wisconsin really take steps forward? Because there isn't much good on this Eastern Michigan team to really highlight. It's more about where does Wisconsin need to dominate for us to be confident going into the bye week and going up against Notre Dame. So, as always, on Wisconsin, and Asher and I will see you tomorrow.